Welcome to The Pulpit, Calvary Moravian's weekly sermon podcast. I'm Pastor Lane Sapp.
And I'm Pastor Chaz Snyder. We hope you'll be able to use this recording of last week's sermon to dwell deeper in God's Word.
Our epistle lesson this morning is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 1, and 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to occupy themselves with myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the divine teaching and training that it is in faith. Whereas the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make assertions. Now we know that the law is good if anyone uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, immoral persons, sodomites, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. In accordance with the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted, I thank him who has given me strength for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful by appointing me to his service, though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and insulted him. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel lesson is taken from Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, 'Be rooted up and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and gird yourself and serve me till I eat and drink, and afterward you shall eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that is commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" The gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Let us pray together. God of our salvation, we thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you for all those who have taught us the good news, so that we may live the life which you have called us. God of grace and God of glory, you care for the entirety of the earth. Even now you are reconciling all things back to yourself. So God, we thank you for the grace given to us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we know your faithfulness is great, and our hope lies in you. So God, we bring before you now the cares of the world, We pray for the people enduring the devastation of war and oppression. We pray for cities and for public life that has suffered destruction and ruin. We particularly lift up all of those affected by recent storms and floods. God, continue to bring restoration and end the conflicts that divide and destroy. And on this Sunday, when we remember our unity in you across the world, we pray for the nations and people, particularly those undergoing turmoil and struggle. Remind us of your ways of justice and truth and compassion. Give us reconciling hearts as we repair communities, as we offer peace where there is no resting place. So God, give voice to those who feel silent. Empower them with strength and support. And God, we pray for your church. We pray that we may be a beacon of your light into the world, that we can be agents of healing and reconciliation. So God, we lift up those who lie on each of our hearts in need of prayer. God, you remind us that you call us to serve you. And it is through the unmerited grace that we receive these mercies. So through Christ Jesus, bring the light of your gospel into our lives. We pray this with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. So the car that I had before the one I'm currently driving was a 2006 Honda Pilot. And the primary reason for owning this car at that time was that at this stage of my life, a significant portion of my parental responsibilities consisted of being a taxi service for my children. So whether it was going to sports practices, play dates, after school events, sleepovers, birthday parties, tournaments, the list could go on. Perhaps maybe this is a relatable topic to those who have or are currently raising kids. So needless to say, we spent a lot of time in this 2006 Honda Pilot as we were fighting traffic going back and forth from one side of town to the other. And one of the many features of this 2006 Honda Pilot was that it had a 6-disc CD changer. This was the luxury package. Pretty fancy stuff. But CDs being a foreign concept to my children, I decided that in order to be a responsible parent, to do my duty of raising good, well-adjusted members of society, it was vitally important that I raise my kids with the correct taste and appreciation for music. So I took it upon myself to select the 6 most essential albums for a child to listen to have a well-rounded musical education. So I would take these 6 albums and place them in my 2006 Honda Pilot 6-disc CD changer, and these would be the only things that we would listen to in the car while driving around as a taxi for my children. So, after many hours of deliberation, here are the 6 most definitive albums every parent should raise their kid knowing. Pens, pencils out, everyone. First, Led Zeppelin's Houses of the Holy. Second, The Beatles' Abbey Road. Third, Bob Marley and the Wailers' Exodus. Fourth, U2's The Joshua Tree. Fifth, Weezer's The Blue Album. And last, but certainly not least, Johnny Cash, The American Recordings, Volume 4. So these were the 6 albums that my kids listened to constantly as we drove around so that they would become good, productive, well-educated members of society with good taste in music. I tell you this story partly in jest because in today's reading from the letter to Timothy, it speaks about a passage that talks about passing on faith to the next generation. And just like it is our job to expose and teach and give examples to the next generation on things like what is important in life, skills, how to learn, and obviously what the right music is to listen to, it is also important to expose and to teach them and to give them examples about what our faith is. And more importantly, how we live out that faith in the world. And I think Communion Sunday in particular is a good Sunday to do that. Because in this sacrament, what we do is we put our faith into practice. It is a tangible way by coming to this table together. So this morning, before we gather as the body of Christ around the broken body and the poured out blood, let us take a little bit of time to think about this part of 2 Timothy. And in this letter, it's a good example because it's about a family that passes on their faith to their children and their children's children. Although a young man at the time of this letter, Timothy still played a key leadership role in the life of the early church. He was trained under Paul, and today we learn that Timothy had a strong and sincere faith. But where did that come from? As we see in verse 5 from this letter, it came from his family, especially his mother Eunice and his grandmother Louise. Timothy's family was a family that passed on their faith. So that begs the question, how do we do that? It sounds easy, but that's actually a pretty complicated task. Unfortunately, there's not just 6 CDs one can listen to. Well, first, they lived it. That's what we hear in this letter. As the letter says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother, Louise, and in your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. Timothy's mother and grandmother lived out sincere faith in front of Timothy, and this deeply impacted his faith. The fact is that faith is caught more than it is taught. If you read further in 2 Timothy, you discover that not only did Timothy's family live out their faith in front of him, but they also directly taught him these things as well. In verse 3:15, it says this, from childhood you have known that the sacred writings are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So although it is both critical to live out our faith in front of future generations, there are also things we can teach about faith. So what does it mean to teach the Christian faith? For me, I think the best way to encapsulate that idea is it means to know the stories of our faith. It's not as simple as a class in school. It's not how we teach the elements of faith. And this is one of the most important things that we can pass on, knowing the stories of our faith. And one of the most important parts of that story is that faith doesn't mean you have to be perfect. So what I'm talking about here isn't that we create a culture of guilt or obligation for our next generations. It's not about telling them, this is how we've done it, and you need to do it this way too, because that's just the way that we've always done it. Teaching and living faith means showing them that we have a wounded Savior. And because of that, when we come to church, when it comes to church or faith or life or existence, we don't come with the demands on how to live. It's not about being good, upstanding citizens, or productive members of society. These are not the jobs of the church when it comes to raising a generation in faith. Our job is to teach young persons, outsiders, even ourselves on a daily basis, that we offer a sanctuary and a home to be broken together, a place to expose our woundedness, because Christ has exposed his woundedness to us and for us. Which is why Communion Sunday is a good example of what it means to live and practice this faith. Because it is in this place where Christ shows up, where it's okay to not be perfect, to recognize that we need one another, that we rely on one another. Because it is in the bread and the cup that we are reminded that the God of the universe meets us here and now. Christ's presence is with us. And this is what carries us on. This is what holds us together, the stories of faith. It's why we share those things with one another, who we are, stories from Scripture. It's part of being the community of Christ. So it's in that incompleteness, in that not having it all together, in the messiness of work and jobs and raising kids and taking care of parents and caring for one another, that's where we learn what it means to be the body of Christ. We learn to put others first, to lift up the least of these around us. We learn to take on the challenges of the world, and we learn how to do so with love and with joy. Because we are reminded of these things in this practice of communion. So if we want to pass on our faith the way that Timothy had his faith passed on to him, if we want our next generations to see the values of church community, we start by showing them this is not a place of guilt or certainty. It's not a place where you have to have it all figured out. But it is a place of unconditional love and of unmerited grace. And it is a place of joyful, heartfelt service, of commitment to one another as the family of God. And like any good family, you start with a meal around a table. So let us do that now. Let us come to the table of our Savior. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the generations that came before us, who showed us and passed on their faith to us. So may we pass on our faith to the next generations, showing them the way of love and grace. So meet us now in this place and at this table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.